Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Fantastic. Yes, I remembered my daughter's iPad password. Fantastic. Good. We can start. That's great. You know, the one thing, so we moved from Sydney to Mandurah at the start of the year. The one thing we lost was my iPad. That's it. We don't know where it's gone. It's just gone into the oblivion. But don't worry, it was like an iPad 2 from about 10 years ago. So it was down to being able to have a Word document for a message on, and occasionally YouTube Kids could work. That was about the extent of it. So I'm on the thanks, Elise. I'm on yours today. But I want to add to what Rach said, a massive thank you to all those that were involved in our quick for. Yeah, we can give them a clap again. Like Rach said, unless it's your first time here, if you've been here before, hopefully you noticed the updated gardens. You didn't lose half your vehicle down a pothole as you walked in, and as you drove in. And there was actually places to park. So all those people that need help with parking, there's markers. That's right. People are pointing at other people, but that's okay. There's markers there to help us do that well. But you know, as a church, as Elevation, our mission statement is simply this. It says, creating environments that inspire intimacy with God, relationship with others, and influence in our world. That's what we're all about. We're all about creating an environment where people find and get connected to Jesus, where they find and get connected to people, and then they realize that that's not about what's just here in this room, but there's a world, there's a city, there's a school, there's a university, there's a family to influence. And I love it because it's all about taking responsibility for our part while realizing that there's parts that God's responsible for. You know, we talked about our worship and prayer meetings that's coming up next Sunday night. You know, during that time, we've seen many miracles happen. We've seen a lady get her back completely healed. Now, how does creating environments work for that? Well, we don't do the healing. Like, not some dodgy, you notice I'm not wearing a white suit and not asking you 5 times for money, and I'm not Steve Martin in whatever that movie was where he's that dodgy faith healer. Okay, we don't do the healing, God does. But what we do is we take responsibility to create an environment that's filled with faith, an environment that's filled with expectation, an environment that prays for people, believing in faith that God is going to work a miracle. We've seen many families here have breakthrough in relationships, breakthrough with their kids. Do we do all of that? No, but what we do is we create an environment where families prosper, where there's life. We create an environment where there's a place for young people on a Friday night to come and hang out and find their identity and learn more about God and find community with like-minded young people. Why do we do that? Because we create an environment. We don't make it all happen, but we create an environment that's easy for people to encounter God. And so, speaking of environments, we started a series last week called Made for Mondays, which is all about our praise and worship. It's all about talking about an environment of praise that, like Rach said, is not just something that happens on a Sunday, but this environment is made for Mondays. It's made for Mondays. It's not just for 20 minutes today, but it's made for your Monday, whatever your Monday is like. And so we talked about last week that there's a whole bunch of words for praise in the Bible in the original language that it was written in. And so there's actually 7 different Hebrew words that get translated into this one word, praise. And so we looked at one of those last week, which is called Barak. And it means to, has this sense of bowing low to the king, but still having our eyes fixed on him. So imagine, you know, enter whatever, you know, sort of, I was going to say Gothic, but it's not really, but like whatever, you know, kingly, old, you know, Knights of the Round Table you've watched, or whatever it is, something like that, King Arthur, you know, sword in the stone. And it's that whole bowing down, yet looking up. It's this bowing before God, praise, but keeping our eyes fixed on him at the same time. We discovered that that fills us with a sense of joy. It gives us greater focus, which is greater stability, which is a greater foundation in our life. And it postures our heart with this sense of humility. And so that was Barak. And so continuing on our theme, we're gonna look at another Hebrew word for praise. But before we do that, I'd love you just to think back a bit. For some people, that'll take a little bit longer than others, but somewhere we're right here. I want you to think back, and can you remember the first time that maybe you learnt a song? So maybe that was primary school, and you had to learn the national anthem. Maybe you were in the primary school choir, and you had to sing "This Little Heart of Mine." Light of mine. That's right. Yeah, I obviously learned that one well. I'm gonna let it shine. Maybe you went to Sunday school as a kid, and so you learned "Yes, Jesus loves me," or you learned I'm showing my age now. I'm too young to march in the infantry, and I like that song. Because as a boy, because my mum was a little bit protective, so we weren't allowed to have guns, like even toy guns. We used to go shoot the artillery. I was like, yes, I get to shoot a gun in church. This is awesome. But I don't know what it was for you. Maybe you used that instrument known colloquially as the devil's flute. Do you know what that is? It's the recorder. Maybe that was the first thing that you learned. But can you remember what that first song is? In fact, so this week there's a few parents that have gone through this week because at a certain school is like performing arts night, or they say night, but it goes over four nights. So we actually have, I'll show you, it's a tiny bit self-indulgent, but it's our youngest child, so Ben, who's four, a part of his performance. So this is the first song that he's learned on that devil's flute. If we can just show that video for a second, I'll get out of the way. So here's the blondie at the front here. Oh, Sienna Warby is also behind him. Oh, can you hear those recorders? Amazing, hey. Now, if you can see his face, he has half an eye open because he said he was scared of looking at people, but he still had to have his eye open so he could actually walk around somewhere. Oh, and this is the best part, because they sat down, but they were supposed to keep walking. But he was the leader, and he knew he was the leader, so watch this. He's making his move, that's right, I'm the leader. All right, we can turn it off now. So that was his first song that he learned. I don't know what yours was, but maybe it wasn't, because we say song, but it was simply making noise out of the recorder, but we don't tell him that. It's all right. But we're going to look at this Hebrew word for praise, and the Hebrew word we're going to look at is, I'm going to pronounce it incorrectly, but it's telilah. Not to be confused with a drink that sounds very similar to that, but telilah, it means a hymn. No, let's not go there. Okay. It means it's a hymn, a song of praise, a new song, a spontaneous song. You see, telilah is a song that's it's spontaneous. It's raw. It's from the heart. The song may not rhyme. It may not have the catchiest tune. These songs may not be the most polished, but they come from a worshipper's heart. And in that moment, these songs of telilah, they flow from a depth of an intimacy and a relationship with God. The other incredible thing about these songs is, well, we're going to look at this scripture in Psalm chapter 40. So where you see the word praise, where you see the word praise here, is this Hebrew word telilah. It says this, Psalm 40 verse 3, "He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise," that's a song of telilah, "to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." You see, it's really interesting. The scripture says that this song has been put in our mouth. It's been put there by God. It hasn't been earned by feeble works of just what we can do. The psalmist doesn't say, "I learned a new song on the recorder." The psalmist doesn't say, "I downloaded the charts and worked out how to play it and watched the YouTube tutorial on how to get all the guitar parts right." No, no. It doesn't say that I learned the song or that I earned a song. Doesn't say it's a song of praise because of my riches, because of my efforts, because of who I am, because of my stature. No, it's a new song that's given by God. Over the last couple of prayer and worship nights, of actually this scripture I've been reminded of twice for two different people in here. And I just felt like as I was preparing this week that this scripture is not just for one or two, but that there's many in this place that God wants to say to you. He's put a new song in your mouth. It's a song of praise to Him. It's something new. It's a new day. It's a new season. That the past is gone, that God wants you to step into something new. And for some of you here, you're like, yes, I agree with that. I can see it. And it's not because the last song was out of tune. It's not because it was bad, that the lyrics were dodgy, that anything else was happening. It's just that it's time for a new season and it's time for a new song. There's others here I want to encourage you. It's actually time to let go of the old. It's time to step into something new. A new season. You're like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, maybe there's an old mindset, ways of thinking that you've thought this is how it should be, but somehow it's not just working out like that. Can I encourage you? Maybe it's time to let go of an old mindset and embrace something new. Maybe there's a past relationship, maybe friend or otherwise, and you had some conflict and you've been holding out for an apology. Been like, when that person realizes how much they hurt me, realizes what happens, realizes what they did, when they come and apologize to me, then I'll be able to step into something new. Can I encourage you? It's time to let go of the old. It's time to not chain yourself to someone else's response. And through God's power, say, you know what? It's time for something new. It's time for a new song. Maybe there's some people here and there's been some unmet expectations. Maybe in work, maybe in family, maybe someone let you down. Maybe someone promised a promotion that didn't happen. Maybe something went, you know, off course that wasn't supposed to go off course. And suddenly you've become that Australian Idol runner-up, Shannon Knoll, and the song is, what about me? It's all about me. It isn't fair. I've had my chance and I want my share. Is that the next line? No, oh, there's Shannon Knoll fans down here. I'll check after. Thank you. Thank you. People under 25 are like, Shannon who? But anyway, the Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You see, this morning, if you can remember one thing, I'll ask you to do this a few times, by the way, but just to start with, if you can remember one thing, just one thing, would it be that God's put something new in your mouth, a new song in your heart? Where to forget what lies behind, forget what mistakes lie behind, forget what's gone on in maybe our past. Forget the failures, forget the letdowns, forget the maybe only 70% got completed of what you wanted. And we're to look forward to the future because God has a new song for you and He's put a new song in your mouth. That's what Psalm 40 says. It says the little last song of praise is not something that you've learned and it's not something that you've earned, but it's from Him. It's from Him, this new song. And maybe you're like, okay, I get you. I get what you're saying. There's a new song. There's something new. I know God's doing something fresh. Maybe you've just walked in here and it's the very first time and you're like, I don't know, there's something new, there's something different. Maybe God's got a change of season for you. I want to encourage you, that's true. God has something new and fresh for you. And so the next question, if He has got to be, so what do we do with this? What do we do with this new song? If God's given it to us, then obviously there's a responsibility for us to do something. It's like the creating environments thing. There's something that God's responsible for, and there's something that we're responsible for. God's given us a new song, given us something new, but what are we going to do? So we're going to look at Psalm 40, where we were just before. The two verses before verse 3 says this. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. I love the imagery of miry bog. Doesn't it just sound disgusting? Do you know what I mean? Like, no one wants to go to miry. Do we really know what miry bog is? Oh, I'm sure we do. But, yeah, whatever. We don't want to find out any more about it. It just sounds disgusting. It actually reminds me of, so a few weeks ago, with other pastors from Elevation, we did the Kokoda trek. And I know every week I will find some illustration from Kokoda. I'll be like the guy did Kokoda once, talks about it for the next 10 years. But let me tell you about this one. The hardest and slowest part of doing the Kokoda trek, which is about 100 Ks over 6 days, is not the steepest mountain. It's actually the part where it's the slipperiest, where there's the miry bog, where there's the mud, where anything where your footing was unsure. It was actually the scariest as well because, you know, safety in PNG is not quite like, you know, Australian safety. Sometimes we're a little bit soft, let's just be honest. But, you know, there's no guardrails around the side. It's like you slip, you fall down those, you know, 500 meters that you're supposed to be walking down. Like it's all over pretty quickly. But I remember thinking that this is the worst part. This part where there's like all mud and stuff all over your boots. But, you know, if you slip, it's a long way down. But Psalm 40 says, it says that he drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, that he set my feet upon a rock, and that he makes my steps secure. That's what he says. So, if you're taking notes, there's two things I want to pull out of that. First one is this. You've got to understand that our new song comes from a new standing. Our new song comes from a new standing. We are not destruction going somewhere to happen. We're not on a downward spiral. We're on a trajectory of grace that's going up and up as we become more and more the people that God has called us to. You know, maybe previously you've stood on some unsure ground. Maybe some stuff has happened in your past that feels like it's like that miry bog. But like I said, when I was doing Kokoda, the worst part was when that stuck to your feet. And so suddenly, you know, my expensive super grip, waterproof, you know, Kathmandu hiking boots, suddenly it just felt like a bunch of skis that were just slipping everywhere. Why? Because there was this stuff attached to it. And so you'd walk down this mud and then you'd find the tree root to, you know, try and kick as much of it off as you possibly can. Why? Because it was affecting our standing. But what you've got to know is that God's pulled you out of that. You don't have to walk around with that attached to your shoes. You can make a difference. You can, you know, do what the Apostle Tay-Tay says and just, you know, like shake it off, something like that. You can make a difference. That was a joke. Don't go searching for her in the Bible. But God has pulled you up out of the miry clay. That stuff doesn't have to stay attached to you anymore. There is something new. You don't have to walk in it. There's a new song that comes from a new standing. It's one that's solid like a rock. It's one that makes our steps secure. God has got a new song that he's put in our hearts, and that new song gives us a new standing. We've got to understand that we stand somewhere new. You know, too often we want to ask God what the next 100 steps are ahead. Oh God, if I could just know what's around the bend. If I could just know what I'll do when I finish school. If I could just know who'll be the one that I'll find. If I could just know what's going to happen after retirement. If I could just know what's going to go on with this business deal. But can I encourage you? Instead of worrying about that, rejoice that God has made every step sure. You may not be able to see 100 ahead, but I want to tell you something. The Bible says that he has made your next step sure, that he's put you on a firm foundation, on a rock, and so whatever step we take, we're on sure footing. Because I don't know about you, but I would rather have firm footing than know what's 100 steps ahead. Because knowing what 100 steps is ahead, with all the miry bog and mud on your boots and not being able to stand straight, is not fun. But having a sure and solid foundation, that's the real stuff. That's what gets us through. You see, not only that, but the scripture said that he drew us up, that he stood us up to somewhere that was higher. You know, there's something about standing from an elevated position that adds, you know, confidence and honor. We see that at the Olympics. We have the, you know, little three tiers, and who's highest? First place. Third, second, first. Why? Because there's something honoring about standing higher. I remember going on the stage at high school to receive my prefect's blazer and badge. That's right. I was a prefect back in Maitland High School, which no one knows where that is, but that's all right. Way over east somewhere. We don't care if it's Cairns or Melbourne or Tassie. It's just all over east. That's right. So New South Wales. In New South Wales. But I remember, I love it. That's my favorite thing. But I remember going onto the stage to receive it. And so, funny story, me and two friends, we titled ourselves, we were the reject prefects. I know, great, great positive affirmations over our lives. So that was because previously our school, the teachers had always rigged who got voted in. You know, like they should. Like, let's be honest. So our year was the first year that they didn't rig who became prefects and captains. And within the first month, they had to demote three prefects because they weren't the right type of people. Let's just be honest. And so that's how me and my two friends got chosen. So we were the reject prefects, the second choice. But we made it all the way to the end of the year without getting suspended or anything like that, like others may have. But I remember going out to receive the badge and the blazer. Why? Because there's something about being drawn up to a place of honor. Something being drawn up into a place of authority. You see, your new song comes from a new standing, a new authority. But you didn't earn the authority. The authority that you get to stand in was earned by Jesus. When he sacrificed his life on the cross and rose again from the dead, he didn't just sacrifice, but he had victory over sin, victory over death. That means that he had authority. And what he does is he places that authority on our lives. There's a new standing and a new authority that you can walk in. It's an authority that causes you not to be a victim. It's an authority that causes you to be an overcomer. In fact, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. See, what we've got to understand about the new song is the first thing is it comes from a new understanding. Second thing we need to understand is our new song is not just for ourselves. Psalm 40 verse 3 again, it says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. I want to focus on the second part of the scripture. It says, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You see, God put the song in our mouth, but it's up to us to let it come out. For many of us, this will be an act of faith. You're like, well, what do you mean? Well, the best way to spell faith is T-R-U-S-T, because faith equals trust. We need to trust that God has our back, that as we let out this new song, there's something happens in our lives that it doesn't backfire on us. God doesn't leave us out there hanging. No, he's got our back. We need to trust that we're hearing from God and not get caught up in comparison with others. You see, when we hold back our new song, often it's because we compare it with others. We think the song of our life, the theme of our life is not as good as someone else's. And so often we settle to be a cover band or a one-hit wonder, but our life is not supposed to be a copy. God's got a new song, an individual song for you. God's shaping your life into a symphony of grace, a masterpiece that he's crafting through you. A masterpiece of his mercy. And someone needs to hear your song. Someone needs to hear your song. It's not just for ourselves. It's for the world. And some of you are thinking, well, I don't think, you obviously don't know about me, because No one needs to hear my song, but I want to tell you they do. They do. You see, it says that in that verse, it says that, let me read it. It says, many will see and fear and put their trust in you. That fear is like the holy reverent fear. It's the fear that lets us live in the light of eternity, understanding that God's in control. It's the fear that puts us in the boundaries that God has for our lives, that we can make decisions and live our lives in light of eternity, not just focused on what happens in the here and now. But it says that people will see and fear, and it says that they'll put their trust in the Lord. So your story will cause people to have a life-giving relationship with Jesus. And like I said, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, my story, my song, I don't think so. But could I ask you just to pause for a moment and just think, what brought you here today? Maybe this is your first time in church. Maybe someone invited you. There's always a someone. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time. Can you think back to the who that impacted your life? Because I can just about guarantee that if you're someone who follows Jesus and I ask you, who was it? There'll probably be a big long list. And it won't actually be about there was this message one time from some guy preaching. No, it'll probably be about a person. It'll be about a who. For me, in my younger years as a teenager, there's probably two people. One of them was my mum, and the other one was my youth leader, a guy by the name of Aaron. You see, I grew up going to church with mum and my two brothers. Mum and dad were married, lived together, but dad never went. A little bit of a stubborn one, my father, but he's softening in his old age, which is great. But never went. So we went, mum would take us. And then at some point, there had to be that decision for me personally, because I could have stayed home and dad would have backed me up. He probably actually would have been excited that I wanted to stay home and not go to church. But for my mum, she was one of the who's. And, you know, she did, sorry mum if you listen to this, but she did preach a bunch of times. And I was thinking last night, you know what, I cannot remember one message my mum ever preached. I know, it's quite shocking, especially for people that preach all the time. I'm like, dang it. But I can't remember one thing that she ever preached, but I can remember countless things that she did. I can remember thousands of ways that she lived her life. I can remember her studying, going to Bible college. She would go during the day. She would come home. She would teach piano in our front lounge room. She would make dinner. She would have, you know, hang out with the family, hang out with dad, and then probably by about like 11 o'clock at night, dad was in bed, and then mum was up doing her Bible college assignments until she finished, and she'd get up the next day and repeat the same thing. I remember that. Why? Because that spoke to my life. Her song made an impact. Aaron, who was my youth leader, youth pastor growing up, I heard a lot of messages. And you know what? Same thing. I cannot actually remember one. I know it's terrible. Hey, you'll all be different when you talk about me. Oh, yeah, that's right. I can remember 10 in a row. No. But I remember his life. Sounds like I'm talking about him like he's not here anymore. He is. He just lives on the Gold Coast. It's all right. But I remember his life. I remember the encouragement that he spoke into me. I can remember just hanging out and doing dumb things. I can remember the time and the effort and the energy and how he encouraged me. And I want to tell you, that for you, you could probably get up and say the same type of stories. But you know what? If someone's song, if someone's life impacted you so much, I want to tell you that your song and that your life can impact someone else. Someone needs to hear your song. They need to hear your life. God has put a new song. He's placed a new song in your mouth. And it's our responsibility to understand that that puts us in a new standing. It puts us in a new authority. We are no longer victims. We are no longer defined by the past, defined by circumstance, defined whatever's gone on in the past. No, God has done something new in our lives. He's given us a new we're standing and he's put a song and it's our responsibility to sing it. It's our responsibility to tell it. It's our responsibility to live it. Why? Because there's a Talalah, a new song, a spontaneous one. It may not be the most polished. It hasn't gone through production yet. They haven't put all the final finishing touches on it. But that's okay because it's your song and God wants to use it to influence your family. God wants to use it to influence your workplace, your university, your school. Wherever you are, God has something new for your life. But it's up for us to speak it, to sing it, and to live it. He's placed it in your mouth. Let's understand that we're on a new standing. Let's understand that we've got to open our mouth, that we've got to speak, that we've got to let our life say something to the world. Because someone needs to hear your song. Someone needs to hear your song.